Next on All Things Considered, lawyers and juries. In Washington, the Yippie leader Abby Hoffman pleaded not guilty to federal charges that he incited and took part in a riot during the recent May Day Week demonstrations in the nation's capital. He appeared briefly before a United States district judge, and Abby Hoffman, was indicted by a grand jury in May, shortly after those demonstrations, on charges that he had crossed state lines with, in the words of the jury, with intent to organize, promote, encourage, participate, and carry on a riot. Hoffman's appearance today brings to mind as well that in these times of protest and demonstrations of unrest, that a whole new breed of lawyers is coming to the fore, lawyers who are more forceful, more dramatic. At some times, their activities in the courtroom have brought down the criticism of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Justice Berger. But nonetheless, it is clearly a new breed of lawyers, and of whom perhaps the most dramatic is William Kunstler, he of the Chicago 7 trials. In Washington, in the aftermath of those May Day demonstrations, there's another lawyer named Philip Hirschkopf. Philip Hirschkopf is the lawyer, essentially, for the May Day tribe, the People's Coalition for Peace and Justice that was one of the organizers of those demonstrations. His clients include Rennie Davis and John Friens of the Chicago 7. And according to one publication after those riots, the number of arrests in Washington came to something like 13,400 persons arrested. Susan Stanberg went over to talk to Philip Hirschkopf, and her first question to him was about how many of those 13,400 youngsters arrested were his clients.
Probably all of them. A number of lawyers got together and helped coordinate the defense of all these people to get them out of jail.
What kinds of charges were leveled against them?
Well, mostly with disorderly conduct charges, incommoding a sidewalk, failure to move on. There were some what we call U.S. charges, which were prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office here in D.C., of unlawful entry. The people at the Capitol arrested on May 5th, a little over 1,000 people, were charged with unlawful entry.
The D.C. Corporation Counsel, C. Francis Murphy, dropped something like 2,500 cases. And so far there have been 10, haven't there, people who've been convicted.
Yes.
What's the present situation then?
Well, there are still about another 2,000 or 3,000 coming out of May 3rd.
Monday,
yeah, to be prosecuted. Of those, maybe a few hundred, 500 at most, have papers that are sufficient to go to court upon. They're probably going to have to drop most of those. What they're depending upon is most people were forced to put up $10 to get out of jail, and they're hoping those people forfeit collateral, whether innocent or guilty, and not have to come back.
What happens once you forfeit collateral, though? You're still on the books someplace, aren't you?
You're in the books just the same as you went to court and got convicted. FBI gets a copy of every arrest record, whether you're convicted or not.
D.C. Police Chief Jerry Wilson said in an interview that was printed in the U.S. News and World Report that the standard arrest process, which involves forms that require the policeman to fill in the name, the address, the charge, the circumstance of the arrest, and should also include a photograph of the policeman and the person that he's arresting, those standard arrest procedures were suspended because the protest leaders wanted to use mass arrests to, quote, these are Chief Jerry Wilson's words, strangle us in our own bureaucratic processes, unquote. Is this a valid argument from Mr. Wilson, do you think, Philip Hirschkopf?
No, and I don't think it's the truth any longer. I believe that they overreacted at first. I think they purposely suspended field arrest forms so that they could arrest anyone they want and not have records themselves to be bound by, and then they could come and do what they're doing now, say that we're not getting convictions only because we don't have records. But of the 7,000 arrested on May 3rd, Monday, the police are admitting privately, and most Justice Department officials admit, at least 4,000 to 5,000 were completely innocent of any wrongdoing at the time of their arrest.
Was there a way to stop them other than by arresting them?
Well, the way to stop them was by arrest anyone who breaks the law. You never, I think, under our system of government, absence a declaration of martial law by the legislative branch, can go out and arrest people at random. What would be suggested by that is if a dozen people got together and started throwing rocks at a precinct house and a chance of an impending riot, that the police could go out and arrest everybody in that precinct, which could be 100,000 people, which would be a way to stop a riot. If there's no one left to riot, there are no riots. the proof, really, of this whole thing is what happened before May 3rd, of what their real tactic was. It goes back about 3.5 weeks. 91 seminarians sat in front of the White House. They were sweep arrested, just arrest all of them. They went to court, and the court acquitted them all. 110 veterans were arrested on the Supreme Court steps, which you may recall. They were taken to court, and again, the court said they didn't break the law. And it's not a bunch of liberal judges we're talking about in Superior Court. They're just men enforcing the law. They next arrest 154 Quakers in front of the White House, standing in single file on a 32-foot-wide sidewalk, taking up a foot and a half of the sidewalk. 150 of those have been dismissed by the prosecutor himself. This is before all this confusion about field arrest forms. Then they arrest 200 and some people in front of Selective Service, most of whom will probably be convicted. They were sitting and blocking the building. Then they turn around and suspend collateral, which really taints those arrests, because collateral is something the courts control. The chief has now been ordered by the courts not to fool with it anymore. Then they arrest the Justice Department, 300 and some. Now this is the Friday before the Monday of May Day. And out of those 300, numbers are being acquitted, but most of them are guilty of an offense. But that was probably the only good arrest that Wilson made in the whole month's period. On Saturday, we were just a free day getting everyone out of jail, and Sunday, they revoked the permits. The permits are illegally revoked by the government. I was the permit negotiator, as I know. They arrested 250 or so people. They themselves dropped the charges on 100 and some. The rest are, for the most part, being dismissed, proving again most of those are illegal arrests. So that by the time you get to May 3rd, you've had almost 2,000 illegal arrests by the government, which is the whole pattern which sets the stage for the police to feel that they can just go out and pick up any kid who's got a knapsack, long hair, blue jeans, any girl who's wearing hot pants, or whatever criteria was used.
But Philip Hirschkopf, they didn't just pick up kids on those grounds. They picked up kids who were there slowing up traffic, who were lifting small cars to block the roads, who were cluttering the streets with debris and slashing tires and ripping flags and benches at the Washington Monument and dumping chicken excrement at the Pentagon.
Well, the chicken excrement was thrown at a handful of guards. It was hardened. It didn't bother anybody. There were about 20 kids involved. Certainly nothing of notable effect. The garbage dumped in the streets was of minimal impact on traffic. As a matter of fact, traffic was never slowed down by more than 15 minutes at any place in the city. If anything, the tactic was a bust as far as a military tactic. And it could have effectively been stopped just as well by arresting people in the street as opposed to going to George Washington University and arresting a law professor as he went in to teach his class, arresting all law students they found standing on the steps of the law school. They swept up about 35 there, going to DuPont Circle and arresting every secretary going to work for blocks around, which is what happened, and hundreds of people in George Washington University area. Just being in that area was criteria for arrest.
But this gets us into the very real dilemma of the Washington citizen, the guy on the street who's not demonstrating, who wants to get to work, and whose private rights as a citizen are being interfered with here.
He's got to suffer the punishments of people being able to exercise their rights. Now, I'm not saying people sitting in the street are validly exercising their rights within the law, but if they sit in the streets, you arrest them. You don't go out and arrest a lot of innocent people so that a couple of dudes can get to work on time and they're not 5 minutes late. Nothing that happened, whether it be some trash in the streets, whether the traffic be slowed down 5 or 10 minutes, justifies 7,000 arrests, the largest arrest in history. We've had such riots in this country. We've had property destruction in the millions of dollars sometimes in cities and not seen 7,000 arrests or anything resembling it.
Attorney General John Mitchell has said that all the police departments across the country ought to employ mass arrests to counter mob force. Do you think that's the thrust of the future?
I think it's the future of the Nixon regime. As long as people like Mitchell and Kleindienst are in effect, their whole thrust is the thrust of the law itself, and that's to keep an upper middle class white power structure, to keep this system ordered rather than to get any equal justice for the minorities or the masses of people. And in doing that, he will arrest every poor person, every black person, every dissenter he can who threatens the order that he's here to maintain.
What do you think the effect of the vehicle of mass arrest is going to have on numbers of people who show up at future demonstrations? And also, what's it going to have to do with the private citizen who may become a little bit frightened or a little bit intimidated about speaking out quite so frankly in the future?
Well, if mass arrests went on, it would clearly be a tremendously inhibiting factor on that. The truth is there's no way for the government to go on with mass arrests. The demonstrators made a fundamental mistake in this past demonstration when the chief arrested 7,000, they should have made him stay in jail and left him there. It would have been a horrible problem for the government, having arrested these people, including thousands of innocent people, keeping them in the most hard facilities, to have to maintain them in those facilities. It would have won tremendous support for the demonstrators.
Final question to you, Philip Hirschkopf. Summing it all up and taking a look at it now, almost 3 or 4 weeks after the May Day activities, do you think that May Day changed anybody's position on Vietnam?
I don't think big demonstrations, and that is just a different kind of big demonstration, ever change anyone's viewpoint. I think, though, it's a healthy thing because I really believe the American people have a certain amount of conscience. Now, maybe it's naive of me, but I think they do. The problem is it's buried beneath their Pontiac and their television set and a lot of luxuries that they have and endure. You have to somehow reach that conscience. Now, for instance, when the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was passed, it was passed with very popular support, where it didn't have such popular support the year before. The trick was 4 young girls being blown up in Alabama. Now, that was the difference. When a 65 Voting Rights Act passed, the trick was 3 young men being buried in a dam in Philadelphia. Things that shock this public, and maybe it's only violence that reaches the American public, and May Day was a form of violence. It was a nonviolent demonstration, but it was violence to the system. It jolted the public. And even though we speak of backlash and all these problems, I think it's good any time you make the American public think about an issue, regardless of which way they're going to come down. I think they'll generally come down pretty good on an issue if they'll think and deal with the issue.